Let's pray that as the Lord has brought us to this revival service, the second in the year 2023, that the Lord will speak to you, the Lord will speak to me. Remember, usually this is supposed to be our covenant month, when we make decisions, set our goals, have our vision for the year. And it's important at this point in time that you allow the Lord to pass his message across to you, so that you are not going to misfire. And everything you desire, the Lord will give it to you. Pray and tell the Lord and say, as you speak now, O Lord, open my heart, give me understanding, and also give me the grace, and let it be receptive to you, and let it meet with faith in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Father, as we go through your word now, we pray that you will speak to each and every one of us. And Lord, we pray that relevant passages that will minister to our need and prepare us for that which you have asked, you will give unto us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you have answered. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. By the grace of God this evening, we are looking at a short exhortation titled, Faint Yet Pursuing. Faint Yet Pursuing. Let's look at Judges chapter 8. Judges chapter 8. Let's read from verse 4 to 5 and verse 10 to 12. Judges chapter 8 from verse 4. And I read, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they faint, and I'm pursuing after Zobah and Zalmunna, king of Midian. If you go to verse 10 to 12, you will see in verse 10, now Ziba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their host with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the host of the children of the east, for there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. Verse 11, and Gideon went up by the way of them that dwell in the tent on the east of Nebo, and Jogbeha, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Ziba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of the Midian, Ziba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. Now, we could see here that a little background to the story is about Gideon. Before now, the children of Israel, when they went against the commandment of God, sinned against God. As usual, God visited their sin, and they were dealt or punished and maltreated by the Midianites. And this lasted for a very long time, until they began to seek the face of God and sent Gideon. God appeared to Gideon and gave him a command. God chose him and gave him a command to go and confront the army of the Midian and deliver the children of Israel out of their bondage. However, this task seemed impossible. The reason being that at first, Gideon gathered about 32,000 men to go for this battle. Even with the 32,000, humanly speaking, the Midianites had an army that was numbering about 350,000. And they were more experienced, and they have been there for a very long time. Yet the Lord told Gideon, because he was the one commissioning him, that the 32,000 men he had, they were too much, because he didn't want to share the glory of what he was going to do with any man. And so he led Gideon to reduce the number of the army to 300. And I think if you look at it, humanly speaking, 300 was not enough to confront over 300 men. I mean, if you look at the ratio. And not only that, you know, Gideon also, because they were few, the battle has lasted for very long. he was, when, but the Lord gave him victory. And then when the enemies were running, Gideon beckoned on his brother, the Benjamite, who were supposed to be part of the Israelites. He beckoned on them to give them bread because they were tired. They refused. He also beckoned on the men of Penuel, and they also refused. And this made it very, very difficult for Gideon and his men, because at this point, they were very tired. Now, what does this teach us? You look at it that many of us as believers, we've had experiences, we've had challenges, especially in this time of the year. People will reflect and look back at the previous years, the challenges they have had, the difficulties they have had. Like the scripture said in Psalm 34, verse 19. Please, let's look at what we said, because it is not strange and it is expected. Psalm 34, verse 19. The Bible said there that many are the afflictions of the righteous. I want to stop there. The first part of that play, many. So you see here that for every one of us, including the righteous and every one of us, you know, this particular period of the year fulfills that passage of the scripture. We all have things we want to overcome. We have set goals. We have expectations. We want the year to be better than the previous one. And that is comparable to the task Gideon and his army was to face. But then what did Gideon do? Gideon and his army did not look at the, you know, the challenges they were facing. They did not look at their number, which was inadequate in human terms. Not only that, the fact that those who were supposed to give them, to antagonize them instead of supporting them. So this combined made them to be very weak. They were very weak. They were no longer strong because they were hungry. However, because they know that they were commissioned by God, just like you and I, God have told us, especially when we had our watch night service crossing over, our pastor told us how the Lord is going to bless us this year. Gideon and his army did not consider their weakness and their failing physical strength. They did not focus on the rejection. Rather, they focused on the victory that God has promised them. And if you look at the scripture, let's look at what the word of God said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. That is for you and I. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. In this year that we are in, please, if you see it, you can help us to read. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. This is the word of the Lord to you as he spake to Gideon. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9.
Galatians 6, 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Amen. Like the Gideon's army, the Lord is telling us the same thing. We should not be weary in well-doing. This is the beginning of the year. Maybe you look back. You know, last year I committed so much. Or last year I had so many challenges. The Lord is calling us this evening. And it's reminding us that though these things may abound, though these challenges will be there, let us not be weary in well-doing. Those works you've been doing for the Lord, you need to do more. Let us not be weary. It doesn't matter what the outcome had been in previous times. It doesn't matter if you got what you expected. It doesn't matter if people consider you to be rational. But he said in due season, and that due season, by the grace of God, I believe it will come to you this year in Jesus' name. For better understanding, we'll look at the discussion under two subheadings. Number one, we are going to look at diverse temptations to quit the right path. Let's look at John chapter 16 and see what our Lord Jesus had to say. Anybody that sees, please, can help us to read John chapter 16 from verse 31 to 33. There are diverse temptations for us as believers. And just like we saw in the case of Gideon, these things are meant to divert our attention. Gideon could have wasted time, stopped aside, and maybe confront his brethren and even fight. But if you look, as we will see later, Gideon did not challenge them. Rather, Gideon said, when I return back, I have to finish my course. John chapter 16, verse 31 to 33.
John 16, 31 to 33. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh. It is now come that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation.
But in the world, ye shall have tribulation. And what is Jesus trying to tell us here? You know, that we should not be surprised when you face challenges, when you have disappointment, when things don't go the way you expect them. The Lord is saying here, in me, yes, you have peace. But because you are still in the world, you shall have troubles. So difficulties and challenges are part of it. And the Bible is making us to understand here that, you know, Jesus is saying, do not be surprised because these things are going to come. And the whole essence is to take us away from the faith. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, talking about diverse challenges, diverse temptations, what the Bible has. That you don't say, Pastor, I've been going through this. It has been happening before. It is not changing. No. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible said in verse 12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange things happened unto you. Which implies that some of them may not understand it. I remember those days when we were young. You know, some things will happen sometimes as a young believer. You begin to ask God, why me? The Bible is making us understand here that, you know, he said, think it not strange because it is normal. Think it's not strange because it is something appointed because we are in the world. Let's look at chapter 5 of the same 1 Peter. And in verse 8, you will see Peter repeating it here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. So what the Lord is trying to remind us here is that, like the case of Gideon, you know, he was rejected by those who ought to have supported him. Those he expected to have understood why he was fighting to free the Israelites. They didn't give him support. Instead, they insulted him and insulted his ability. God is telling us here that we should be sober because they are still in existence, that they are still going to be there. And what the devil is doing is roaring about. It's moving from place to place. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, talking about diverse temptations that comes to us as believers. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. If you see it, please, you can read.
Amen.
Amen.
Things thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Amen. The Bible said it will come. As you can see in that place, it says, fear not. Do not be afraid of the things you are going to go through, the challenges you are going to go through. What does this mean? You know, as a believer, we must understand that when we surrender our life to God, it does not mean that everything becomes easy. No, that is not what it implies. That's why the scripture is telling us here that we should not be afraid, you know, to go through those difficult times. You have applied to those positions, it's not coming to pass. We've had testimonies of our pastor, you know, he applied 1 year before he was called. Some people may have even within that 1 year lost hope. He didn't change his attitude. That's what the scripture is saying here, that we should not fear them. We should not be afraid, because for some people, when they think about it, the road is difficult. What does that mean? You see that, you know, let's look at Job chapter 14, verse 1, and see what Job said again. Why is it so? Job chapter 14, verse 1. If you see it, you can read. Job chapter 14. Verse 1. Job chapter 14, verse 1.
Job chapter 14, verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble.
Yes, man that is born of a woman. This is like a general statement. That's the reason I said that you have surrendered your life to Christ doesn't mean that your life is intended or is ever going to be easier. Number one is because the Bible has made it clear in that passage we read that every human, unbelievers and believers alike, born of a woman, is of a few days. and full of troubles. And these troubles comes in different forms. But in addition to that, the moment you give your life to Christ, the Bible even made it clear that our obedience to God's command as a believer, you know, to live a pure life and to live a righteous life that is worthy of emulation in all areas of our life, actually adds another layer to our own challenge, which means that our challenge is somehow, instead of being simpler, is bigger than that of the unbelievers. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. You need to have this understanding when you go into this new year, that number one, as a living being, as the scripture have said, man born of a woman, every human is full of troubles, as you can see it all around. But then as a believer, the moment you make that decision, your challenges and your troubles even become small, although there is hope. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. If you see it also, you can help us to read. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I read from here because of our time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I read verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, this persecution the Bible is talking here about here is not for everybody. It's a yea and all, which means are beyond that which the Bible proclaims in the book of Job, that man born of a woman is of few days and many troubles. As a believer, the moment you make up your mind, the devil becomes your enemy. And the Bible said persecution. And that persecution makes it even more difficult, just like we see in the case of Gideon. And also we see another reason why the life of a believer will not become easier, is that the world will live in, because they do not follow the principles that are laid down by God. As such, they always do not provide support. You know, like you already know, the systems of the world, they are not to encourage, they are not designed to support our faith. They are not designed to make it easy for us. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. You will see what Jesus said in that place. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, talking about the systems of the world. That is another layer that adds to the challenge a believer faces. That is the reason you see that sometimes you begin to ask yourself, why is mine different from that of the others? In verse 22, he said, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. That's why you see that, you know, some people will do some things because they can lie. They can take the easy way out, tell all the lies, they get away with it. But for you as a believer, you know, you don't understand why people cannot understand you. The Bible said here, Jesus makes it clear, and wants us, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, because you have made up your mind, I'm not going to live according to the principles of the world. They will criticize your dressing. They will criticize your appearances. They will criticize your commitment and consecration to the things of God. And then he said, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So the Bible is saying there that we must make sure that we do not quit. What does this mean? That although these multi-layer challenges, coupled with the effort of the Satan, will want to try to stop us. The aim is, you know, to make us weary and stop doing what is right. The aim is sometimes to even pull us down to the point that, you know, you begin to think of quitting the race. That is the aim of the enemy. But the Bible is telling us here that as believers this year, as believers, irrespective of what you are going through, you must brace up to endure hardship. You must be willing, as Jesus said here, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So you must make up your mind that no matter how difficult the devil will want to make it, not because God wants it, no matter the kind of trials and persecution that you are going to go through this year for the sake of the Lord, not for wrongdoing, that you are going to stand where the Lord wants you to stand, because the Lord has a promise for you. And it is certain that these things will come. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Certainly, there are diverse temptations. There are diverse trials. The devil is laying ambush, and he's certainly going to come. So don't be surprised when they come. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, there had no temptation taking you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to be. This is reassuring that, you know, as I have said, these diverse temptations abound, like it was with the case of Gideon. They are there, but the Bible is saying that despite all of these diverse temptations, despite all of these difficulties and distractions, that the Lord is able. He will not allow you to go down. So you need to brace up. You need to cheer up. You need to look at, you know, yourself and understand that, yes, challenges may come. It doesn't mean that there will not be times when things will be very good. The Lord will make everything very easy. But what the Bible is telling us here is that in the road we have chosen, the path we have chosen, there may be thorns. The path we have chosen, that there are going to be times when it doesn't seem to be going the way you anticipated. But even in those times, the Bible is giving us assurance here that the Lord that we are serving is looking at our faithfulness and he has not abandoned us. And this year, the Lord will give you all you need to fight and to overcome in Jesus' name. Before we pray, let's look at the example of Gideon that we are seeing here. That will take us to our second subheading. Gideon, example to follow as we journey along. If we are going to make it, we have to look at the example of Gideon. Let's go back to our text, Judges chapter 8. I want someone to help me to read from verse 1 to 3 and verse 5 to 9. You will see how Gideon did it, because it is certain these things are there. We are going to be fainting at some point. You know, sometimes the you will hear about we are going to have prayer feast. For some people, they have excuses, cogent excuses, why they cannot join. But these are things the Lord expects us to do, because it builds you up, it helps you. For some people, it might be other activities the church is asking us to engage in. And you are thinking, is it going to be possible for me? Yes, it is possible. Gideon showed us example that if we can do these things, it is very much possible. Judges chapter 8, let's look at verse 1 to 3. Anybody that sees it, please can help us to read.
Judges chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not, when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God had delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Seb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you, that the anger was abated towards him when he had said that?
Amen. Verse 5 to 9, sir.
And he said unto the men of Sukkoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. And I'm pursuing after Seba and Samuna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Sukkoth said, are the hands of Seba and Samuna now in their hands, that we should give bread unto the army? And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord had delivered Seba and Samuna into my hand, then I will rear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with the briars. And he went up thence to Peniel and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Peniel answered him, as the men of Sukkoth had answered him.
Verse 9, and he spake also unto the men of Peniel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. Now, there are three things I want you to take note of in that passage. As Gideon showed us example on how to react when the devil tries to bring these temptations and discourage us from doing what is right and what the Lord has commanded. Number one, you saw that the men of Ephraim, instead of you know, supporting Gideon, instead of, you know, understanding the fact that he was fighting for all of them to be liberated from the hands of their enemies, the oppressors. What did they do? They confronted him. They tried to distract him. Instead of pursuing the enemy, they were trying to take the glory. They were trying to, you know, be human and be mundane, talking about the glory of winning the battle, why he did not consult them, why he did not do this. It happens all the time. But what did Gideon do? Gideon knew this was a distraction. Gideon understood that the devil was trying to use that to make him to change focus, and he dealt with it carefully. Humbly, he praised them, he calmed them down, and their anger abated. But as they continued, you saw here they were fainting, you know, because the battle, imagine 300 people going to fight an army of over 350,000. And so when they were weak, they went to meet their neighbors. Again, can you help us? We need some bread. And they insulted them. Ordinarily, Gideon being a warrior, and knowing the fact that God was with him, would have been distracted. The devil would have used that to distract him. But Gideon also refused to do anything. He said, I am focused. I have to go and finish what lies ahead. The command the Lord has given, finish the battle, and when I come back, when I've done all that is necessary, I will address this issue. He went to Penuel, the same thing happened. Now, what do we see here? We see here that neither the confrontation by the Ephraimite nor the refusal by the men of Sukkot and Penuel made Gideon to change his direction or focus. And the Lord is calling you to the same thing. Is it because of Job? What is that thing? Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 18. What is that thing that the enemy has been using in the past that sometimes you use as excuse and he's not allowing you to focus? Gideon showed us example here that if we are going to accomplish God, our God-given target this year, if we are going to do everything despite our shortcomings, despite the failures we have had in the past, we need to summon courage to continue. We need to forget, because in fact, one thing I look at is, if you think about it in human terms, sometimes when you are hungry and you focus on that hunger, you realize that it will not allow you to do anything. But if you are focused on a goal that is bigger, you sometimes do not remember that you are hungry. Romans chapter 8, I read verse 18. In verse 18, it says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The Lord has promised us, we know the time is at hand. The end of the world is called, the rapture is so close. And the Bible is saying here, for I reckon, Apostle Paul is talking, that no matter the suffering, no matter the situation, the challenges you have on this earth, if there is nothing like Gideon, he decided not to allow any of those things. You know, the insult on his person, do you not have the hands of Zimuna? Even though Gideon did not allow any, he didn't address them. He rather focused on that which he was going after. Let's look at verse 35 of this Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. In verse 35, you will see here also that Apostle Paul speaking in verse 35, he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Not having a job? No. He says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, neither living, you know, desire to make it in life, neither the desire, you know, to break the yoke of whatever troubles I feel I'm facing through. Apostle Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Some of us, sometimes the reason we are so engrossed and what we are bothered about, what will I eat tomorrow? Where will I be tomorrow? How will I survive when I am old? You don't even know if you will get there. Paul said, neither the things present, nor things to come is enough. I am persuaded that none of them is sufficient enough to separate me from the love of God. He said, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what the Bible is saying here is, like Gideon, we must not allow those distractions. Like Gideon, we must make up our mind this year that irrespective of what the devil uses as an enticement to distract you from the call of God in your life, from the good things, you have to remember. The Bible said, do not be weary in well-doing. Do not be weary in living a life of righteousness. For in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. Let's look at the same Romans chapter 13. I read verse 11 and verse 12. And that knowing the time that now is, it's high time to awake. Maybe you are the type, you know, look at Gideon. If you go back to the beginning, when God first called him, he had excuses. Gideon looked at himself. I am the least in my brother's, my father's house. The Bible is saying here, and knowing this, that the time, and the same thing with Gideon, when God called him, that time was a critical time because they needed to be delivered. They have suffered so much. And the same thing, he said, knowing this, that the time now is high to awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Gideon knew at that point that, you know, we have defeated these people already. If you look at what he did in that place, the Bible said so many thousands of the soldiers have died. What is left is less than the ones they have killed already. And so Gideon sees that opportunity. So you cannot continue to live on excuses. You need to do like Gideon, seize the opportunity of the time. In verse 12, he said, the night is fast spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. This year, you have to make up your mind. This is not time to choose. You know, when it comes to revival service, sometimes you are not there. When you come to Bible study, you begin to talk about other reasons why you cannot make it. The Lord is challenging you this year because every avenue the Lord has provided, there is a blessing attached to obedience. If you look at Gideon, in fact, time will not permit us to look at the details of how they fought that war. They never lifted any arm. You know, what the Lord asked them to do was to go into the camp. You are not carrying the conventional arm that, you know, people will carry. They were blowing their trumpet, they were carrying their lamps, and the Lord was doing the thing. Sometimes you talk about online service, you know, the revival service on Fridays, God would help us. This year, you are going to make up your mind and set your mind on the thing that lies ahead. Proverbs chapter 3, let's look at verse 5 to 6, talking about the example of Gideon. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. If you see it before me, please, you can help us to read. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6.
Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
And he shall direct thy path. The Lord wants to bless you this year. Oh, I've been in Finland. It's difficult to do this. It's difficult to do that. The church is not even... Stop those. Focus on God himself this year, like Gideon did. Gideon never wanted, in fact, when God said reduce the, he didn't question God. And the Bible is telling you, the reason Gideon did that and obeyed completely was because he trusted the Lord. How would you ask someone to go with 300 men against 350,000? Is that not a suicide mission? So this year, you have to make up your mind and take example from Gideon. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on their own understanding. Scientifically, if we are 3 to 5, 10 people, there's no way they will not. That is human understanding. If God be with us, who can be against us? So we see here that despite Gideon's army being faint, despite the fact that, you know, that they have been fighting for a long time, an army that was far bigger than they are, he and his army did not stop pursuing because they were focusing on the target. That was the main thing there. You have to focus on heaven. You have to focus on the promises of God. You have to focus on the part that God has told us that he has gone to prepare a lesson, a place for us. Now, what are the lessons, key lessons we can learn from what Gideon did here? We will soon be praying. I do not intend to have us stay long, but let's look at number one. We see that the lesson we learn here is that we need to trust the Lord with all our heart. We have just read in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. You must learn this year. That was what Gideon did. You know, first and foremost, at the beginning, he was jittery. He was not so sure. But when he saw all the signs, he asked God for several signs. The Lord gave him those signs. The Lord has given you signs. So many of us, I always say this. You ask yourself, how did you get here? Do you think it's because of your self-effort? No, the Lord made it so. And so Gideon trusted the Lord with all his heart. So you have to trust God with all your heart and forget about the things you know as a person. Then number two thing is that you have to set your eyes always on the final glory that God has promised. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. We have read it before. Let's go back there again. You have to set your heart on that final glory. If you see it, you can read. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. You have to set your heart on the final glory that God has set before us. He said, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time, there's no amount of difficulty. Sometimes some people, it even comes to the issue of contributing and supporting the work of God. And you begin to think about and count, you know, maybe the inconveniences or the things you have done. The Bible is telling us here, there is no amount of suffering. There is no amount of sacrifice. There is no amount of commitment that will give to the work of God that is worthy, that can be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. My prayer is that as Gideon did, none of us will miss that glory. None of us, for any reason, will leave it out. But the Lord will give us the strength to focus and to be committed until we get to that place in Jesus' name. Another thing is that it is time, in the case of Gideon, you know, despite all that happened, we need to see God's hand in every situation we face. Sometimes it is unpleasant situation. We need to see his hand and glorify him. Let's look at verse 28 of that same Romans chapter 8. You need to see the hand of God in everything that you do, and you have to understand how to glorify him. You are sick, glorify God. Look at the case of Job. He did not understand. Good enough, we've been having the studies about Job and how he reacted to his suffering. Job knew that he had not sinned against God. And although he did not understand what was going on, but he was so sure that God had not left him. The same thing, you have to see the hand of God in every situation and find a way to glorify him. Verse 28 of Romans chapter 8, the Bible said, and we show that, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. By the grace of God, you are saved. By the grace of God, you are walking according to the word of God. By the grace of God, you have not erred, you have not gone contrary to the will of God. The Bible says everything in your life works together for good. You have to make up your mind and understand that this year. It is paining me. I am not happy. The hand of God is there. God is able to take it away. No matter the challenge, you have to remember that you see the hand of God in that situation. Maybe there is a lesson for you to learn. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, in your present predicament, in your challenges, in whatever it is, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That is the word of God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. My prayer this year is that you shall have peace all around. My prayer this year is that as you focus and remain steadfast in the service of the Lord, the peace of God will not elude you this year in Jesus' name. Another thing we learn from Gideon is that we must believe in God. We must believe that what God can do through you. You know, sometimes the problem some of us have as Christians is that we don't even believe in ourselves. It is not about, there's nothing wrong in believing your pastor. There's nothing wrong in trusting the pastor to pray for you. There's nothing wrong in going to pastor to ask for counseling. But as a person, as a believer, you must understand that there is some innate ability. That there are things God can do through you. And if you believe, the Bible said, if you believe, all things are possible. In verse 13 of the same Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things. You know, he probably had leaders. Remember, Ananias went to pray for him. He had people who had been there before him, but he had that belief in him. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. That should be your statement this year, that you can do all things. It is difficult, but I can do it. Not by your own power, but through Christ, which strengthened me. Another lesson we can learn from Gideon is this, that we need to rejoice and be happy even when things are rough. James chapter 1, verse 2, the scripture is telling you, be happy, because the devil is looking to make you sad. The devil is looking for an occasion to cause you, to derail you, to cause you to forget the commandment of God. The Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation, when the temptation comes, when the challenges comes, the Bible says you should count it all joy. When those things are wrong, see them as temptation, be happy. And then know that also, the Bible made it clear in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That challenge you are seeing that is ahead of you, like the case of Gideon. You know, those army that were there, they were to pursue those distractions. Gideon knew, greater is he that is in me. You know, look at how he said it confidently. When I have finished with this enemy, I am going to, remember he had just 300 men, and the people he was talking to were probably more than 300. But Gideon was so confident that greater is he that is in me. And I have seen the sign. The Lord have done it. I have about more than half of this army has fallen. And I know the remaining will fall. And I will come back to you because greater is he that is in me. So the Lord is telling you today, greater is he that is in you. Make that your slogan. Make that your statement in those challenging moments. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Finally, before we pray, you must always remember that if we endure, we will also reign with him. But if we deny God, he will also deny us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, before we pray. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. You have to make up your mind this year. It doesn't matter what. I am tired. I am fainting, but I have to continue. Because there is a prize ahead of you. If we deny God, remember, he has made it clear. He will deny you. But if you stand with him, he has given us assurance. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I read verse 12. The Bible said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will also deny us. Are you going to suffer with him? Are you going to see things from the perspective of God? Or are you going to deny him because of challenges? Let's go to God in prayer. I want you to commit yourself into the hands of God. We saw Gideon and his army. They were fainting. Maybe in your case, you're already considering, Pastor, you know, the meetings are too many. Pastor, they are asking us to do this. No. It is just what it is. The moment you become a Christian, the devil will use every avenue to want to stop you from pursuing. Gideon showed us example. He believed God. He trusted God. Why not commit yourself into the hands of God and say, God, like Gideon, I do not want to look back. Even though I'm fainting, no matter the challenges, they will definitely come. But you are going to pray, faint yet pursuing. You are not going to deny God. Ask the Lord and say, God, give me the grace this year. I'm making a commitment. This is our covenant moon. You are going to tell the Lord, I am going to go back. I am not going to fail you. But as you have commanded, as the Lord has taught us this evening, I may be weak and weary. I may be sick. It doesn't matter the challenges. I am going to do it to the end. I'm going to go with you. Pastor, please, you can take over.
Let's continue to call upon the name of the Lord. This year, we are going to trust the Lord. This year, we will trust him. This year, no matter what happens, oh God, I will trust you. This year, oh Lord, no matter what happens, I am going to trust you. I am going to put my faith in you. Let's present ourselves before the Lord, brethren. The Lord was faithful to Gideon with just 300 men. You know, 350,000 soldiers and armies were won. Let's pray and present ourselves before the Lord. That is the power of trusting the Lord. This year, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Confess your faith in God and say, Lord, I will trust you this year. I will trust you this year. I will trust you this year. Give me that grace to trust you. I trust in God wherever I may be. Upon the land, on the rolling sea, for come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. Confess your faith that this year, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I will trust you, and with that trust, you know, God can do greater things and mightier things through you and me. Let's pray and present ourselves before the Lord. God wants us to trust him this year. God wants us to trust him this year. No matter wherever we are, no matter come what may, pray and say, Lord, I will trust you. In tribulation, just like we have been told today, in tribulation, Lord, I will trust you. In fiery trial, I will trust you. In suffering, I will trust you. Confess your faith in the Lord. Lord, I will trust you this year. Let's present ourselves before the Lord in the past, in those areas where we failed to trust the Lord. When we saw the tribulations coming, and Jesus has told us that to be of good cheer, where we have forgotten those injunctions from Christ and encouragement from Christ, and instead of trusting him, we have run helter skelter. Let's pray, Lord, this year, it's not going to be like that this year. My story will not be like that this year. My story will not be of a run around, the one running here and there because of challenges of life and tribulation. Lord, this year, I will trust you. Gideon trusted the Lord. Even though he faced rejection, he trusted the Lord. Even though he faced opposition, he trusted the Lord. Even though people, you know, did not buy the idea of the vision, of the goal, of the objective God had given to him, he trusted the Lord. Let's pray, Lord, all my mistakes of the past, running around in fear because of tribulation, I am sorry. This year, Lord, I will trust you. This year, Lord, I will trust you. This year, Lord, I will trust you. You know, in those areas where we have faced fury trial, or where we have seen the trials and challenges coming on our way as strange. And as a result of that, we lost faith in the Lord. Let's pray, oh God, this year in fiery trial, I will trust you. Help me to trust you this year. In the name of Jesus, let's pray, oh God, all those places, all those areas, all those occasions, all those circumstances, I mean, that came on my way last year, and I lost my faith in you, and I lost trust in you, and I dissociate and disconnect myself from fellowship, and I refuse to fellowship with the children of God, and I stop picking calls of people, and I stop reading my Bible, and I stop reading the word of God. That will not happen this year. That will not happen this year. Lord, I will trust you. Oh, Lord, I will trust you. Gideon had reasons to stop trusting God, but he never allowed that reason. In fact, you know, when God told him that you the God is with you, and when the angel told him the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor, he could not believe it. Let's to talk of when he started to face rejection. Let's to talk of when people started, you know, misbehaving towards him. Yet he trusted the Lord. Let's pray, oh God, this year, I will trust you. This year, I will trust you. This year, I will trust you. Come what may, I will trust the Lord. Come what may, I will trust the Lord. All the doubt of the past, all the abandonment of fellowship, abandonment, you know, of fellow children of God, abandoning them, abandoning gathering, abandoning fellowship because of circumstances of life, because of fiery trial, because I feel like the challenges are too much for me, and I weigh me down. And as a result of that, we dissociate, we disconnect from fellowship. Let's pray that will not happen this year. That will not happen this year. Make a commitment and say, Lord, I'm trusting you this year. Like Gideon, I am trusting you. Like Gideon, I am trusting you. In my marriage, I am trusting you. In my career, I am trusting you. In my finance, I am trusting you. Concerning my children, I am trusting you. In my home, I am trusting you. In my ministry, I am trusting you. In every aspect of my life, I'm trusting you. I will not run away this year. I will not disconnect this year. Those mistakes of the past, of previous years, that is of the past this year, come what may, I am going to trust the Lord. Let's make that commitment and tell the Lord, Lord, this year is a year of trust. This year, I am trusting you. In the mighty name of Jesus, pray and call upon the name of the Lord. That if it is suffering, oh God, even in that suffering, I'm going to trust you. In the name of Jesus, we have been told today from the book of Revelation, the word of God tells us, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. You know, those things may come your way, those suffering may come your way, but God is telling us, don't fear anything that comes your way this year. Put your trust in me. Put your trust in me. Let's pray, Lord, help me to trust you this year. Help me to trust you this year. Help me to trust you this year. Make that commitment. I will trust the Lord. Look at what God did through the life of Gideon. Gideon, you know, a man who does not believe himself, a man who did not believe himself, did not believe in what God could do. He was looking at the environment. He was looking at, you know, the suffering of the people of God, looking at the suffering of the Israelites. And then an angel was telling him God is with him. He could not believe all that, but he trusted the Lord. He took the challenge. He trusted the Lord. He listened to the Lord. He trusted the Lord. He reduced the army. He trusted the Lord. He used just few soldiers to win the battle. Let's pray, oh
oh God, this year, I will trust you. I will not depend on my strength. I will not depend on what is happening around. I will not pick up faith and disbelief from the challenges, from the circumstances, from what happened in the society, in the environment, in Finland, in cities, in the life of people around me. But I will trust you I will trust you for the impossible. Gideon trusted the Lord for the impossible. And he trusted the Lord against all odds. He trusted the Lord against all challenges. There was no reference, no testimony that he could believe he could trust him. Yet he trusted the Lord. No reference that he could say God did it for this one and God can do it for it. No reference. Everything was blink and dark. He trusted the Lord and the Lord make his life better. He trusted the Lord and the Lord fulfilled great things to him. He trusted the Lord and the Lord did great things to him. This year, Lord, I'm trusting you. I will not trust in my strength. I will not trust in what the society is saying. I will not trust in the economy of the country. I will not trust in the economy of the world. I will not trust in the statistic of inflation. I will not trust in the challenges around. I will not trust in the doctor's report. Lord, I am trusting you this year. Make that commitment, all those confession of unbelief, all those disbelief in the word of God, those disbelief in what God can do, those disbelief, you know, in what God can do to us in the past, that will stop this year. Oh God, I am trusting you this year. As Gideon trusted you, I am trusting you. In the mighty name of Jesus, let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Confess your faith in the Lord. I am trusting you this year. Oh Lord, I will trust you. I will trust you for my marriage. I will trust you for my family. I will trust you for my children. I will trust you for my career. I will trust you, Lord, for a change. I will trust you, Lord, for the betterment of my life and everything around me. I will trust you for my parents. I will trust you, Lord, for my uncles. I will trust you for my aunts. I will trust you for my sisters. I will trust you, Lord, for my extended family members. I will trust you for the unsaved in my family. I will trust you for my children. I will trust you for my spouse. I will trust you, Lord. This year, I will trust you. Let's pray and confess our faith in the Lord. We will trust the Lord. We will trust the Lord. In the name of Jesus, the Lord will walk with us this year as we trust him in Jesus' name. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. We are still going to pray. Our pastor told us about Gideon, an example to follow as we journey along. As we journey along this year, as some challenges possibly face us, Gideon is an example to follow. What a wonderful gem from God's word. Two kings went against him. Two kings. He was going to fight Ziba. He was going to fight Zalmunna. And Gideon trusted the Lord. And he fought and he won this king. We are going to pray. What is the Zalmunna? What is the Ziba in your life? What are those twofold challenges that are facing you? Either it is in marriage, or it is spiritually, or physical, or career, or in any area. I want you to present yourself before God this evening. That Lord, this year, I'm trusting you. Begin to confront Ziba. Begin to confront Zalmunna. Begin to confront Ziba. Begin to confront Zalmunna. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. You, the Ziba in my life. As Gideon confronted Ziba and Zalmunna and warned them, I confront you, I defeat you in the name of Jesus. You, the Ziba and Zalmunna, troubling my family, I confront you, I defeat you in the name of Jesus. Brethren, don't forget that a sinner cannot get any victory. If you have not given your heart to Jesus, you may want to confess your sin and say, Lord, this year I'm trusting you. I will not trust in myself, in my deception, in my brain, in my understanding to go around, to roll around things, and then to scheme here, scheme there in order to get something. This year I'm trusting you. I'm handing over my life to you. If you can do that this year, like Gideon, God will do great things through you. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Every Zalmunna, every Ziba, this year, I confront you. In the name of Jesus, I defeat you. I confront you in the name of Jesus. Those Ziba and Zalmunna that you have been running away from in the previous years, confront them this year. Confront them this year. That Ziba, that Zalmunna of the academic paper that you are trying to write and you have not been able to succeed. Confront you this year and say, Ziba and Zalmunna, I confront you this year in the name of Jesus. I defeat you in the name of Jesus. Maybe the Ziba and the Zalmunna is some kind of spiritual challenges, temptation you always fall into. You want to say, God, this year, Ziba and Zalmunna, that's always pulling me down. I confront you like Gideon defeated you this year, Ziba and Zalmunna, you will not break me down anymore. I am going to live a victorious Christian life in the mighty name name of Jesus. Confront that Ziba. Confront the Zamona. Confront the Ziba. Confront the Zamona. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. This year, every Ziba, every Zamona that are facing my life, that are pulling my life down, that are not making me to make progress in my spiritual life, in my career, in my finances, in my home, in my family, Ziba and Zamona that's always causing problems, causing challenges, issues here and there. You Ziba and Zamona, as Gideon defeated you, I receive faith in Christ. I declare in the name of Jesus, I defeat you, Ziba. I defeat Uzamona in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name, we are praying. Amen. We are still going to pray. Another challenge, you know, another thing, example to follow about Gideon. A pastor told us about distractions that came from the people of Sukkot and Penuel. You know, he just needed loaves of bread for his army. These people refused to give all those loaves of bread unto him, unto his army. They acted as a distraction. They acted as a disappointment. And that, you know, as a disappointment to Gideon, but Gideon, still did not give up. We are going to pray. All those distractions that have faced you in the previous years and have wearied your heart, and of course, disappointment on your part. And as a result of that, you have not been able to achieve what God has destined you to achieve. You want to pray. This year, oh Lord, every Sukkot, every Penuel of distraction, in the mighty name of Jesus, I defeat you in Jesus' name. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. All those distractions against our spiritual life. As you try to grow spiritually, as you make decisions to grow spiritually, as you try to move forward spiritually, those distractions are coming and are pulling you down. You want to pray and call upon the name of the Lord. You distractions of Penuel, distraction of the men of Sukkot, this year you will not distract me. This year I'm going to move forward. This year I'm going to move forward. This year I'm going to move forward. This year I'm going to move forward in the mighty name of Jesus. This year I'm going to overlook all the distractions from the men of Penuel, all the disappointment from the men of Sukkot. I will look away from you this year. I'm going to move on this year in the mighty name of Jesus. All those distractions this year, oh God, I will look away from them. I will move on this year in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord will give us that grace this year. No distraction will stop us. No distraction will stop us. As a family, no distraction will stop us. As an individual, no distraction will stop you. In your spiritual life, no distraction will stop you. In your career, no distraction will stop you. As a church, no distraction will stop us. In the mighty name of Jesus, all the distractions of Penuel, of the men of Penuel, all the distractions of the men of Sukkot, men who have nothing good in their mouth to say, wanting to disappoint, wanting to discourage the heart of Gideon. Let's pray this year, we'll not listen to those things. We'll not look at those things. We'll be focused on our goals. We'll be focused on the objective that God has given to us. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. This year, oh God, I'm looking away from distractions. This year, oh God, I'm looking away from distractions. I'm looking away from disappointment. I'm looking away from the men of Sukkot. I'm looking away from the men of Penuel. I'm focusing on the objective. I'm focusing on your plan. I'm focusing on your purpose. I'm focusing on your goals. I'm focusing on your promises. I'm focusing on your plan for me. In the mighty name of Jesus, in my career, oh God, I'm focusing on your purpose. I'm focusing on your plan for me. In the name of Jesus, in my family, oh God, I'm focusing on your purpose. I'm focusing on your plan for me. In the name of Jesus. In our churches, oh God, we are focusing on your plans. We are focusing on your purpose. In the mighty name of Jesus. All the distractions of the men of Penuel. In the mighty name of Jesus. We terminate them this year. We terminate them this year. We terminate them this year. All the distractions of the men of Sukkot. We terminate you this year. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every distraction distracting us from the objective, from the goal, from the objective, from the purpose, from the plan, from the will of God. Oh God, this year, in the name of Jesus, we terminate every distraction. We terminate every distraction. Every spirit of distraction wanted to give up unnecessary job, unnecessary load to be carrying about and to forget about the goal, about the objective, about the plan, about the will of God, the purpose of God for our lives, the purpose of God for the church, the purpose of God for the family. Lord, this year, every Sukkot, every Penuel, we terminate you. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will not stop us anymore. You will not stop us anymore. You will not stop me anymore. You will not stop me anymore. In the mighty name of Jesus, in Jesus Christ's name, we are praying. Amen. Another example, as told tonight, that we can follow regarding the example of Gideon is that Gideon, despite weakness, despite that, you know, the fact that he was fainting, despite tiredness, He did not stop him from pursuing. He kept pursuing. No wonder there are many failures. I mean, many men and women who fail in life because they cannot continue to pursue. There is no tenacity. There is no one thing they want to pursue, one objective they want to get. And as a result of that, they pick this one, they pick that one, they do that one, they do this one. Their hands are everywhere and they are not able to hold on onto anything. You are going to pray this year. Then I will give you focus. Focus, focus, spiritual focus, career focus, academic focus, family focus, church focus, ministry focus. Let's pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Oh God, give me focus this year. Focus this year. Focus this year. Focus this year. Something to stand for. If you cannot stand for something, you will fall for anything. If you cannot pick up a goal and objective given to you by God to pursue, you will fall for every objective and goals of many people. Let's pray, oh God, this year, give me goals, give me objective, give me vision. In the mighty name of Jesus, Gideon was a man of vision. Gideon was a man of objective. Gideon was a man full of tenacity. Gideon had a purpose, has an objective, has a goal. He did not allow anything to distract him. He was focusing on that. The men of Penuel, they did not distract him. The men of Sukkot, they did not distract him. All the circumstances and challenges around did not distract him. Gideon was focused. He was told to reduce the army. He reduced the army. He was just focused and focused and focused. And at the end of the day, those kings, Ziba and Zalmunna, were defeated. We are going to pray and say, Lord God, this year, help me to be focused. 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 Spiritually, to be focused on holiness and righteousness. To have a spiritual objective this year. To have an objective to serve God, an objective to live without sin, an objective to live without unrighteousness, without impurity, an objective to live every day in righteousness, in holiness, an objective to serve God, an objective to be committed to the things of God. Oh God, give me that vision, give me that goal, give me that objective this year, in the mighty name of Jesus, in my career, an objective to be straight, to be direct, to be focused, to pursue that thing you have shown me to pursue. Give unto me this year, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, in my ministry, help me to be focused. Help me not to run here, jump here, jump to anywhere, not holding on to anything, not having a focus, not having an objective, not having something to achieve, not having something to do for God, not knowing what to do, just running around. Let's pray and say, God, oh God, give me focus and objectives here. In the mighty name of Jesus, a vision of Gideon, a vision to conquer, a vision to possess, a vision to defeat Zalmunna, a vision to defeat Ziba. This year, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, where I have been blind to what you want me to do, this year, Lord, open my eyes. In the mighty name of Jesus, you open the eyes of Gideon. Lord, open my eyes this year. In the mighty name of Jesus, open my eyes this year. Help me to be focused. Give me that tenacity to pursue my spiritual objective this year, to pursue my spiritual goal this year. Go to serve God. Go to read my Bible daily. Go to pray daily. Go to seek the face of God. Go to be committed to the Lord. Go to be in church always. Go to fellowship with the children of God. Go to be closer to God. Go to serve the Lord. Go to be better spiritually this year. God, help me to follow that focus, to follow that goal, to be objective, to be tenacious this year in the name of Jesus. No, I may be tired to wake up and read my Bible. Do I may be tired to attend prayer meeting? Do I may be tired? Do I may be weak, but to be there? Lord, that goal, that grace, that tenacity that made you give you to win, give unto me that tenacity this year. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus Christ's name, we are prayed. Amen. Finally, we are going to pray. And talk to the Lord. Lord, help me to trust you this year. Brethren, Apostle told us, the whole thing is about trusting the Lord. Challenges may come. Problems of life may come. But trusting believer is a victorious believer. Pray and say, Lord, help me to trust you. Come watch me. Help me to trust you. 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 Help me to trust you in every area, in every aspect of my life. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you have given to us tonight to listen to your word. From the example of Gideon, you have challenged us that challenges of life may come, problems of life may come, but those things are not excuse. They are not enough excuse to hinder us from achieving our God-given goal and objective this year. Lord, we are praying for grace to trust like Gideon, that despite all the things facing him, all the things that faced him, that opposed him, he still got the victory. Help us, Lord, to go through whatever challenge, whatever problem, whatever position, whatever distraction this year, and to get the objective and to get the goal achieved this year in Jesus' name. The things that defeated us last year, Lord, this year, we defeat them in the name of Jesus. The temptations that pulled us down last year, this year, Lord, we pull them down. We overcome those temptations in the name of Jesus. The distractions that succeeded over us as individuals, as families, as career men and women, as fellowship, as a unit, as a church, last year, those challenges, this year, we declare we are victorious over them in Jesus' name. Lord, make us men and women. Make us homes and families. Make us church and units. That is tenacious. That follows your objective. That believes in your promises. That claim those promises. That hold on to those promises. That continue in belief and in trusting of those promises, that does everything that needs to be done in order to get those promises achieved, and that makes sure that he doesn't go astray or get distracted until that vision, that goal, that objective you have given to us is achieved. Let it be our story. Let it be our testimony this year. Let it be our pursuit this year. In the name of Jesus. For Pastor, that you have used for us, more of your strength, more of your wisdom, more of your anointing, more of your power upon him in Jesus' name. Thank you because you have answered. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen.